Have you ever felt a twinge of worry about AI taking over your job or diluting your creativity? Well, what if you could turn that fear into creative fuel? We've just published an amazing new ebook called The 4 Keys to Success in an AI World, and this is more than just a guide. It's a deep exploration into the human skills that AI can't touch, the skills that are essential for standing out and thriving no matter how much technology evolves. We're talking about real differentiators here like creativity, emotional intelligence, critical thinking, and much more. Inside, you'll find actionable insights and strategies to develop these skills, whether you're a creative person, a business person, or just simply someone who loves personal development. This isn't a story about tech taking over. It's a story of human creativity thriving alongside AI. Picture this: AI as your creative co-pilot, not just as a tool, but a collaborator that enhances your unique human skills. The 4 Keys ebook will show you exactly how to do that and view AI in a new way that empowers you instead of overshadows you. Transform your creative potential today. Head over to unmistakablecreative.com/4keys. Use the number 4, KEYS. That's unmistakablecreative.com/4keys. And download your free copy.
My mom took it to another place because my mom was filled with anger. She had so much anger towards life. Life had been incredibly unfair to her. And unfortunately, she took it out on the one thing she knew wasn't going to leave her. And that was me. And my mom, when I say my mom beat me, man, like my mom, and I know there's a lot of comedians or a lot of people that would joke, like, my mom got a switch. I'm like, yeah, my mom did that too, but that was light work for her. My mom at one point grabbed a rope, like literally a rope, and tied my hands and my feet together and literally just didn't care where she was aiming, just went. And of course, I put my hands up to block my face. I mean, she would hit me on my arms, on my back. I mean, my head, my legs. I mean, you name it. And like, and I remember my uncle one time, you know, he lived with us for a period and he finally interjected and he told her, "You're going to kill him. Stop."
I'm Srini Rao, and this is the Unmistakable Creative Podcast, where you get a window into the stories and insights of the most innovative and creative minds who've started movements, built thriving businesses, written best-selling books, and created insanely interesting art. For more, check out our 500-episode archive at unmistakablecreative.com. JR, welcome to the Unmistakable Creative. Thanks so much for taking the time to join us.
Well, thank you for having me on your show, man. It's a pleasure to be here and excited about the conversation.
Yeah. So I found out about you by way of your publicist who told me, you know, that you were on Dancing with the Stars, that you had served in the military, like all these crazy things together. But then I had a chance to read your book Full of Heart and got a really deep understanding of kind of everything that has led you to where you're at. So I wanted to start by asking you, what is one of the most important lessons that you learned from your mother that have influenced and shaped what you've ended up doing with your life and your career? Because the thing I got from the book was that this is like a pivotal relationship in your life.
Oh, man, they're so old. And sorry to, you know, a little sound effects, but it just makes me, because... And we can, I'm sure we'll probably unpack some of this stuff. You're right. Yes, it's a very pivotal relationship in my life. But what if I told you that my mother and I have not spoken for the last 4 years?
Whoa. Okay.
And so that would throw people, as you just responded with the whoa, that would throw people, that would throw them off. I mean, just a curveball coming out of nowhere, right? And, but I would tell you this. I would tell you this, and there's two ways to look at this. And that's at the stage of life that I'm in, I look at both ways. So my mother experienced, as you read in the book, a lot of trauma from losing a child to just relationships to my grandmother, my grandfather, essentially abandoning her, getting rid of her. I mean, there was a lot of physical abuse, verbal abuse, emotional. I mean, you name it. And my mother experienced all that trauma before she had me. Then she has me and she unfortunately falls into this really abusive relationship that was physical. And I witnessed a lot of it. And it became a routine where I would, when he decided to drink and get triggered by something on a weekend, that it was my responsibility to call 911 and have them come to the house, take him away, only for Monday, you know, for him to get out, and we would just keep the routine going. All right. Like, that was the cycle. And we did this for a few years. And, you know, I remember one time he was triggered so badly that he actually put my mother and I in a car and told us that he was going to kill us. And he drove around with us for a few hours. And I mean, he was just, he was literally driving around drinking, and he was, we were just like, kind of like, I don't want to use the word hostage, you know, but essentially, like, there was no way for us to kind of get out of his grasp. But then finally we were able to, cops showed up, whatever, took him away. And I remember the next day being with my mother out in public, and my mom had this demeanor, this like attitude of like chirpy, happy, smiley. And my mom's 4'11", right? Small, but man, has the biggest laugh, the biggest smile that can fill any space. And I remember looking at her, and I was so distraught by this. I was like, it doesn't make any sense why she's in such a good mood after what happened. And I asked her, why are you smiling so much? And she straight out said, I smile to invite the blessings. I smile because whatever good that is coming our way, I'm able to receive it. If I don't smile, then I'm not able to receive those blessings. Now, you hear that, and the listeners hearing this right now and saying, wow, that is so beautiful. That is so poetic. That is so whatever. And yes, it is. Although at that age, it didn't make sense to me. But as I got older and I said, yes, that is at the root, that is focusing on what you can control. That is finding ways to still be grateful for this moment, for this opportunity, that blessings will still come, to be able to receive them. All of that is incredibly beautiful. However, as I got even older, because I'm 40 now, as I got older, I then realized, oh, wait, no, there's some, a lot of that's not really healthy. Part of that is my mother being, you know, she's from El Salvador, and she came to the United States as an undocumented immigrant. And then she became a citizen, and then she learned English, and she worked multiple jobs, and, you know, the typical story of most immigrants. And, you know, my mother never had the ability or the resources to go and talk to anybody about her trauma, about her experiences. She never got the opportunity to just cry and grieve. She always had to put on this face that everything was okay and I'm inviting these blessings. But in that, all she was doing was essentially just kind of kicking the can down the road, as we've heard the saying. And as I got older, I realized I had similarly been conditioned to follow that. And although there's something in that that's beautiful, where you don't let things get the best of you and you find ways to just kind of push through a day, on the same token, because both things can be true, it also made me realize I wasn't really dealing with a lot of stuff. And I was putting on this front and this smile, like everything was great, yet behind the scenes, I was struggling. And nobody would have ever known unless you were really connected and close to me. And that was a whole separate conversation, because I didn't let people get close to me for a very long time. I didn't trust people. I didn't understand what unconditional love was. I didn't believe people could unconditionally love me. I mean, so my mother gave me a lot in a sense of where, you know, she just, by living, I learned just by watching her, by witnessing the way that she showed up. But then in the same token, she also gave me a lot in the way that it made me realize, oh, that's the things that I want to break. Those aren't the things that I want to carry on for me, JR, but then also as a parent, as a husband, as a friend, as whatever that I may be to people. And it's no different than my father, who, when I was 9 months old, left and wasn't in the picture. And I finally met him for the first time in 2019. And I told him, I said, man, even though you weren't in my life, you taught me so much. And so, you know, you could still be taught things, even though there isn't really the intention of trying to teach anybody something. And what I told him he taught me was not what not to do as a parent or as an individual in general. And it's when things get difficult, when things get a little cloudy and confusing, you still show up. That's what matters.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
As creators, we're always on the move. Whether it's a live podcast event, a pop-up shop, or a workshop, we're constantly interacting with community, and that's where Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe comes in. Imagine this, you're at a live event, a listener loves your merch, or a participant wants to sign up for your course on the spot. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, you can accept their payments right there and then, right from your iPhone, so there's no extra hardware or no delays. Total game changer. It's not just for creators. Any business owner can do this. It's about making transactions smoother and much more personal, growing your business in your way. We've been using Stripe for our products and courses for a long time, and now with Tap to Pay on iPhone, you can take your business to the next level too. So visit stripe.com/tapiphone to learn more. Remember folks, with Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, your business is always at your fingertips.
So with all that in mind, you mentioned also that you haven't talked to your mother in 4 years. And I think that it would be hard for us to continue this thread without addressing that open loop.
It'd be funny. Like, it'd be fun though, right? Just keep a listener on suspense exactly. And just have to like sit there. And then literally the last 5 minutes we kind of talk about it and people are like, ah, you know, but, we're not going to do that to the listener, but you know, listen, my mother, because of a lot of the trauma and the losses that she experienced. Now, I'm very careful with words. I try to be, at least. Sometimes I get a little too excited, but for the most part, I try to be careful with words. And so when people say this person is dealing with a lot of, and I'm like, well, are they dealing with it or are they just experiencing it? There's a difference between the two. And so my mother has experienced it. She hasn't dealt with it. And again, I understand when I was a child that she didn't have the luxury, the resources. Also culturally, that wasn't something that, you know, was highly encouraged, was to go and talk to somebody. And so my mother had developed these ways of protecting herself from ever feeling that loss again. I was the only constant thing in her life. I was consistently in her life for, you know, for my entire youth, right? I was the only person that was there every single day. And my mother used guilt as a way to also, because of her fear, to keep me there, that I would never leave her, because that was her biggest fear. She used guilt. My mother took out a lot of things on me that weren't even my fault. And listen, I love my mother. She's still alive. I love her to death. I am forever grateful for the things that she did for me. She did the best that she could with what she had and what she knew. But at the end of the day, this is my truth. And it's not that I'm trying to expose her and trying to get, it's just my truth. And these are the honest conversations that I had to come to terms with. And I realized for so much of my adult life, I had been burying and oppressing these thoughts and not wanting to think of my mother this way. And, you know, my mother, when I was a child, man, you know, typical boy, I mean, I got a 2.5-year-old son, and I see myself in him. I see how, you know, how wild he is and how much energy he has, and he gets into everything. And that's how I was. I mean, I was a typical kid and a typical boy for that matter. And I got into trouble a lot, but I also got into trouble a lot at school because of the things that I was experiencing in my home life. My home life was not healthy. And if it wasn't my mother that was, you know, having somebody put her hands on her and drag her around the house by her hair, it was somebody in my complex that was happening to. I mean, I was just, that's what I was surrounded by. And I was struggling. And no one ever, including my mother, ever sat down to really say, let's talk about this. Instead, the only thing my mother knew how to do was to give me a hug, to tell me she loved me, and to make me a delicious meal. And man, did I enjoy that meal. But there was never like a real in-depth conversation. It was never real, you know, we all strive for connection, and there was no real connection, you know, in the midst of really discussing the trauma and the adversity and the challenges. And, you know, so my mother, when I would get into trouble, my mother, instead of sitting down and saying, hey, what's going on? Let's get to the root of this. My mom punished me for it. Now, again, I'm 40, so I still kind of was in that era where, you know, it was kind of like understandable and acceptable to some degree that your parents put their hands on you. But my mother didn't just put her hands on me, right? Man, my mother whooped my ass, man. Like my mom, like, I grew up in Arkansas, and there was a thing called capital punishment, where literally if you got in trouble at school, a parent could agree for a principal staff member to literally give you like spankings. Yep. Like with the paddle, mm-hmm. like this wooden paddle that they had. And I can't tell you how many lickings I got at school. And they were like, all right, cool, go back to class. And my ass is sore for the rest of the day, and I can't sit down in my seat comfortably, and it's all a mess. But my mom took it to another place, because my mom was filled with anger. She had so much anger towards life. Life had been incredibly unfair to her. And unfortunately, she took it out on the one thing she knew wasn't going to leave her, and that was me. And my mom, when I say my mom beat me, man, like my mom, and I know there's a lot of comedians or a lot of people that would joke, like, my mom got a switch. I'm like, yeah, my mom did that too, but that was light work for her. My mom at one point grabbed a rope, like literally a rope, and tied my hands and my feet together, and literally just didn't care where she was aiming, just went. And of course, I put my hands up to block my face. I mean, she would hit me on my arms, on my back. I mean, my head, my legs. I mean, you name it. And like, and I remember my uncle one time, you know, he lived with us for a period, and he finally interjected, and he told her, you're going to kill him. Stop. And as a kid, you're just like, I was conditioned, man, where I was like, you know, there's this book. I think it's a great book, and it's a great book for me, and I, because it applies a lot to my life, and it's called Walking on Eggshells. And I didn't read it till I was in my early 30s. And when I read this book, it really clicked, because for me, it was, that was my entire youth. I was always walking on eggshells around my mom. I come home from school, and if I can sense it. The moment I walked in the door, I was like, oh, something doesn't feel right. I was conditioned that I had to be the one to make her happy. Hi, mama. Are you okay, mama? I love you, mama. Give her a hug, mama. I had to make everything better. That's the way I was conditioned. Now, listen, you can really deeply get into some really deep emotional psychology in the sense of where understanding how that, all that behavior would affect my relationships as an adult. I never told anybody, man. I never did, because I had to protect my mom. Again, another thing I was conditioned to do, protect her. I couldn't. It took me years for me to get to this point where I can comfortably, openly talk about this without breaking down or without feeling anger, and I never really cared about it even as an adult. But my mother, as an adult, she started to verbally abuse me. She knew she couldn't physically put her hands on me and didn't have the same effect, but she knew she could verbally abuse me, and she did. And I remember speaking at this event, and it was this in California, and it was like this a trauma organization, and you had a bunch of, you know, therapists, counselors, social workers. And prior to me speaking, the night before, my buddy and I were at the bar and we're grabbing a drink, and we end up running into a couple of people that are in attendance at the conference. And, you know, I'd meet this guy who's a therapist, and we start talking, and he was the first one that ever said this to me. He said, "Wow, JR, you were in a abusive relationship." He says, "And it sounds like you're still in it." And I was like, "What?" And he was like, "Yeah, you're in an abusive relationship." And I never would have put those words in the same sentence with my mom. Never, because that's your mom. And my mom, as you know, and here's the thing, and I talk a lot about rebirths, and I think rebirths are, I think it's a beautiful word, and a lot of people tend to hear the word rebirth and they maybe immediately think of something ending, something dying in order for something to be born. And you know, I don't put a lot of emphasis on that, because all I can focus on is the birth component. All I could focus on is the beauty that's on the other side of something ending. And all of us have identities, and they're all connected to these different things, our roles and who we are and what creates our identity. And for so long, you know, the identity let me carefully choose these words, because I want to make sure that I'm getting conveying what it is that I want to convey to the listener. But for so long, like my identity was to just protect my mother. And that was my role. That was my job. I never wanted to out her. I never wanted anybody to think she was a horrible mother. But the thing that my mother's identity for as a parent was to take care of me, was to, you know, like I was dependent on her for so many years of my life, right? And then what happened was, after I was injured, which if you throw that into the equation, my injury, and we can unpack this, but my injury was essentially, there was all this fuel, all this gasoline, all these cans of gasoline just kind of sitting on top of, you know, like a pile, just waiting for something to ignite it. And my injury was the ignition. Like that's the thing that lit all of that. Because once again, it threatened the possibility, once again, of her losing something else and the only thing she's had in her life consistently. And so naturally, and I understand this, and this is why I don't have any anger or anything towards my mom. I forgive her, because I know she was just a broken And she still is a broken woman, because I can relate to that, because I remember a period in my life when I was just lashing out and hurting people, but I was broken as well. Now, luckily, I was able to surround myself with some amazing people and have so many amazing experiences that it encouraged me to, one, learn how to be vulnerable and be completely transparent with myself. Forget everyone else. Be honest with myself, but then go to therapy. And not go to therapy. Listen, there's a lot of people that love to throw out that they're in therapy right now. And that's cool. I'll applaud you. But listen, there's a lot of therapists, and I've been around a lot of them, that they'll ask you all the right questions just to kind of get through it. They'll follow what you want them to hear. They'll validate. It's like Tony Robbins did this exercise, and he asked this host that was interviewing him. He said, look around the room and see, and tell me if you see anything that's brown. So the host looks around. He says, yeah. And he's like, all right. Tony's like, well, did you see anything that was red? And the guy said, no. He said, because you were looking for brown. He said, now look around and see if you see anything that's red. And the guy looks around. He's like, oh, yeah, I see red. And he's like, yeah. The point of that is, whatever you're looking for, you can find it to validate your point. Like, I mean, that's just. And so as much as I love therapy and encourage therapy, I also know sometimes you can go into a therapist's office and tell them what you really want to hear. And, you know, guess what? You know, you can feel good when you walk out and tell people I'm in therapy, and it'll validate a lot of things for you. But are you really being honest with yourself? And in my opinion, a good therapist will also find ways to kind of be like, well, no, let's really unpack that. Let's really talk about this. Let's dig a little bit more. But I luckily had been surrounded by some really incredible people, and still am to this day, to where when I went to therapy, I was honest about me being an asshole at times and the way that I would cut off people, and obviously a lot of that stuff from my youth. And so my mother struggled after I was injured, you know, I found my purpose again, and I know we'll get into that. I found my purpose, and I just literally took off, man. I left the hospital, and I was like, I'm going to conquer the world. And I was traveling everywhere. And then, you know, there were some rocky periods, of course, but then things started clicking years later. And then all of a sudden, now I was at the height, and I didn't need my mother the same way. And so my mother was unable to have that rebirth from a parenting standpoint and sort of shift to my son doesn't need me. He's not dependable on me and to provide food or to provide shelter. What my son needs me to do now is to literally just be there for him when he's on the road and it's exhausting, or there's something going on in his personal life. He just needs someone to talk to, someone to listen to him, someone to tell him that, hey, I love you. Someone to say, hey, I'm going to pray for you, because I don't pray for myself, but my mom always did. And, you know, my mom was unable to, because her validation and her importance was, her purpose was kind of taken away from her. And what she did, once again, to combat that was, I'm going to verbally, abuse you. I'm going to tell you that you are not good enough. I'm going to tell you that, she literally would tell me, I mean, many, 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 many times she did this. She would tell me, I tell people that I don't even have a son. And dude, this is literally me. Like, for the first 6 weeks of me being on Dancing with the Stars, I didn't know where my mother was. Like, my mother, literally 3 months before, my uncle told me, he's like, dude, she just left in the middle of the night. And I'm like, what do you mean she left? She left. And I'm calling my mom, calling her. She's not responding. I'm tracking her because I paid for her cell phone. And I see she's like leaving Georgia, and she's driving like towards, you know, Tennessee and like, you know, the Midwest. And I'm like, where is she going? She's not answering. But then I see the phone constantly being used. I mean, this is wild shit, man. And to the point where I was like, enough. I'm not going to tolerate this anymore. And I turned my mother's phone off. I cut her phone off. I paid for it. I cut it off. Do you think my mother ever said, hey, I'm sorry, I just uprooted and left. I'm sorry that I didn't give you an explanation. thinking that maybe you will be worried about me. No, she never acknowledged that. Instead, when she finally came back into the picture and came back home, all she was mad about was the fact that I had the nerve to cut her phone off. And I'm like, how do you expect me to still pay for something when you were, God knows what you were doing? Like, and you weren't even had the courtesy to respond to me and with the text. And, you know, man, I feel like I'm doing therapy right now. I'm sorry to the listeners that are like, golly, JR, you're unpacking all your trauma on us. And I'm not trying to trauma dump. I'm just being honest. And I want people to understand that as beautiful and profound as that moment was, and my mother said, I smile to invite the blessings, how later in life, without her really digging in and, you know, really doing the work, how it came to bite her and it came to affect her life to the point where now when she should be smiling to invite the blessings, which is, you know, her son doing so well and having two beautiful grandchildren that I know she would love and enjoy to be around and they would love her, she's not able to appreciate those blessings. She's not able to receive those blessings. So it's one of those things that I worked on that very micro, but in a macro way of life, it didn't work. And so I finally got to a point through therapy, man. I said, I got to establish boundaries with my mom. And I remember, I mean, listen, there's a whole thing. When I started dating, like that was always a threat to my mom because, oh, now you're going to forget about your mom. There was always that guilt associated with that. And I remember one day my mom calling me and she went down the rabbit hole blaming me for joining the military because I presented that trauma to her. Blaming me for so many things, telling me once again, she tells people she doesn't have a son, yet in the same monologue, she's asked telling me how, you know, I don't do anything for her financially and I don't give her any money and I bought her a house and I pay for her property taxes. I pay all her bills. I was giving her a stipend every month of just to sort of just be retired and live her life because she was entitled to that. And I wanted to try to do the best that I could to help her. And in that conversation, I said, Mom, I love you. I love you. I'll always be grateful for what you did for me because I never cared about how she put her hands on me and the way she did. I never brought that up. As an adult, she was the one bringing that up. Oh, you probably hate me because of the way I put my hands on you. And I would say, I don't even think about that because I'm able to sort of bury that and just kind of appreciate you and love you for who you are. But you keep bringing it up. So that tells me you have guilt. And finally, in that conversation, I said to my mom, I can't keep doing this. If you want to call me and we want to talk about the future and healing and moving forward, I'm 100% game for that. But if you want to constantly call me and put me through this, then I can't take that phone call. And she said, fine, then I don't have a son. And she hung up. And that was the last words I heard from my mother till this day so far.
Wow.
Now, whether that changed or not, I don't know. We'll see. Time will tell. I hold space for my mother in my heart, and I always will welcome that conversation if she feels inclined to reach out. But I also know it's not fair to me. It's not fair to the people in my life that if I continue to put myself through something because I'm not going to be able to authentically be the best that I can be for the people that I know are need me to show up for them.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Wow. Well, I appreciate your transparency.
I guess you didn't expect that, did you?
No, it's funny you mentioned the therapy thing because you're not the first person to say an interview with me feels like an hour of therapy. So, yeah, I don't think you have anything to worry about there. You're not the first. Like, because I was thinking to myself, man, there's so many different directions we could go with this. You kind of alluded to the immigrant experience, and I relate to that because even in the Indian culture, like I didn't grow up in nearly as traumatic an environment, but like therapy was kind of stigmatized. And, you know, it's changing with generations. I think as my parents have seen like things like their own friends lose kids and have to go to therapy, or I remember like even with among my closest friends, it was kind of the narrative. It's like, oh, no, the fuck do you need a therapist for? Therapy's for crazy people. Then they started getting, then our friends started getting divorced, and that's very much a cultural thing.
Yeah.
So one of the things I wonder about it, you know, and this is kind of a multi-layered question, but what has been the impact of having no steady father figure in your life, both on you during your childhood and also in terms of how you as a parent are raising your own kids and you as a father?
As always, there's, I jokingly, tell people that know me, that work with me, that are in my circle, I joke about how I know I'm going to be that older man one day that is going to be like, let me tell you a story. And the reason I know I'm going to be that guy, because I'm him now. I'm already that old man now. So you ask me that question, I'm like, well, let me tell you a story. And I just have so many stories. And I think that's the cool thing about the life that I've been able to live since my injury, is because I've just constantly found ways to just show up even when I didn't feel like it. And through those experiences, I get these beautiful stories. So my father, so look, the challenges, man, the challenges is, as pretty standard, typical stuff we know in regards to not having a male figure, someone that could guide you, someone that could, everyone talks about playing sports or, how to even, potty train you and, how do you hold your, penis when you go pee? I didn't, no one to teach me how to talk to girls, no one to teach me how to like use tools. No one really talked to me about life. No one else to vent to when, oh, mom doesn't understand me or anything. Like I didn't have that. I didn't have, and that was a challenge for me. And I yearned to have his presence in my life as a kid. I just constantly yearned to have him in my life, and he was nowhere to be found. Now there's a whole experience where at 16, I actually on my own was able to locate my cousins on his side, and they were in Houston, And I approached my mom and said, I want to meet him. I know where they are and I know where he is. I hadn't spoken to him, but I knew where he was because of my cousins. And my mom, of course, was not happy about that. But after a while, she was like, fine. All right, I'll drive you there. And she wasn't driving me there to be like, all right, you know what? You have a right to meet him. She was driving me there to be like, I'm going to show you the deadbeat that he is. Like, that was her motive. But anyways, I mean, he kind of was. I mean, we showed up in Houston at my grandmother's house, my dad's mom, and she hadn't seen me since I was a baby. And literally, I knock on the door by myself. She opens the door, and my middle name is Renee. So that's where JR comes from. I'm Jose Rene Martinez. And I just decided not to go by Junior. I go by JR, Jose Rene. And so she literally looked at me because they used to call me Nene as a kid. And she was like, Nene? And I was like, wow, like you know who I am. And, you know, she brought me into her house. We sat down, we talked. My mother ended up coming in. And ultimately, I was like, so where is he? And she was like, he's not here. And I was like, where is he? She's like, he got picked up by the cops literally a couple of days ago. Because my dad was always involved in some shit. And so, you know, whatever. I just kind of put that behind me and was like, well, at least I tried and just moved on. And I noticed something, man, that in my early 20s when I would, you know, I was drinking age and I'd go out like, and, you know, after you leave a club or a bar, like they got the, I spent the early 20s in San Antonio, Texas. And as soon as you walk out, they got the little taco trucks on the corner and you're like, oh, let's get some tacos. And I remember one exchange specifically with this man that came up and asked for something. And I said, nah, man, I won't give you any money, but I'll buy you something to eat. And he's like, nah, I don't want something to eat. And it triggered me, man. And I lashed out at this dude and I asked him, I was like, do you have any kids or whatever? And he was like, yeah, you know, but I'll talk to him. And all I did was just unpack everything that I had been dealing with or not dealing with, experiencing. And I just unloaded on this guy because this guy was an extension of my father. Like, oh, here's a man that I can, that's not my father, but I can tell him everything that I would tell my father because this man is equally on the streets and doing things that he's not supposed to be doing and not talking to his kids. And I remember my friends were like, yo, JR, chill. Like, what's up, man? I'm like, ah, man, the hell with that dude. And they were like, we don't know where that's coming from. And neither did I. And I just kind of like, that's kind of how I moved along. Well, when I met him for the first time in 2019, I was 36 years old and my dad is in Mexico. That's where he is. That's where he's from. It turns out my dad got into a lot of trouble and ended up finally having his visa, restricted and taken back. So where he couldn't come to the United States, that, you know, he was now banned from ever coming back to the US. So he's in Mexico. I go visit him. Turns out my dad's homeless. My dad's homeless. My dad literally sleeps on the porch of this lady's like concrete building. It's not even a home. It's a building. And he walks with a limp. He's all beat up. And I ask him, of course, the question, man, why'd you leave? And he tells me very candidly, I just forgot about you. And as hard as that was to hear, because all I ever wanted was this dude, just all I ever wanted was to be wanted. And this dude was never in my life. Like, it also was like, I got everything I needed out of this visit. All the answers I had been looking for, I got them. And I realized that I wasn't the only one. He left other kids. It's like, I got like 7 siblings out there, man. And I'm the only boy, which is scary because I'm like, yo, man, I could have dated one of my sisters. Like, this is wild. You know what I'm saying? Like, you really think about it like that. You're like, I could have been one of those stories where it's like, yeah, we did Ancestry.com just to kind of see what our, you know, what our makeup is. And turns out we're related. And I'm like, ah, that's nasty. What do you do now? You know, you divorce, you got kids. Like, well, it's weird now, right? It's creepy. You can't unknow what you know, right? Kind of deal.
Yeah.
But I realized everything in life has its purpose and its timing. And you don't always get the answer when you want it. And you just have to, just be patient because life will eventually present you with the opportunity to get that answer. And I realized at 36 years old, I realized this is why he wasn't in my life as a kid. Had he stayed in my life, this would have been the example that I would have followed. And my best friend who was with me said to me, man, think about it. Like, God looked after you, man. Like, he removed him as a piece because he was not emotionally capable to try to give you a hug and at least tell you he loved you and all this stuff. Like, so he removed that piece. Now, your mom presented other challenges, but at least your mom showed you love and gave you hugs and took you to the park and took you on trips and did all these great things. And I have such beautiful memories with her. And it all sort of kind of like, there's closure. Now, I haven't spoken to my dad since that visit, and I'm okay with that. Like, if I pass, I'm not going to have regret. I'm going to be like, I got the answer that I needed.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Have you ever felt a twinge of worry about AI taking over your job or diluting your creativity? Well, what if you could turn that fear into creative fuel? We've just published an amazing new ebook called The 4 Keys to Success in an AI World, and this is more than just a guide. It's a deep exploration into the human skills that AI can't touch. The skills that are essential for standing out and thriving, no matter how much technology evolved. We're talking about real differentiators here, like creativity, emotional intelligence, critical thinking, and much more. Inside, you'll find actionable insights and strategies to develop these skills, whether you're a creative person, a business person, or just simply someone who loves personal development. This isn't a story about tech taking over. It's a story of human creativity thriving alongside AI. Picture this, AI as your creative co-pilot, not just as a tool, but a collaborator, that enhances your unique human skills. The Four Keys ebook will show you exactly how to do that and view AI in a new way that empowers you instead of overshadows you. Transform your creative potential today. Head over to unmistakablecreative.com/4keys. Use the number 4, K-E-Y-S. That's unmistakablecreative.com/4keys. And download your free copy.